Hi, I'm Dan.
And I'm Travis.
And we're of the Dan
and Travis
show. And you're listening to the Handsome Timmy D
Express.
Wonderful.
Well, hello, dear reader. Hello, dear listener. And welcome to another holiday special of the Handsome Timmy D Express, which is a proud part of the Dan and Travis show, which you could find on iTunes and on all your podcast apps. And we're also a proud part of the Chronic Rift, a series of podcasts looking to put the culture in pop culture, which can be found over at chronicrift.com. We are recording this, actually, technically the second night of Hanukkah, and we are just a little over a week away from Christmas. And so I figured, let's do some more holiday talk about things that aren't really industry-related, but still an important topics at this type of year. I'm very delighted to be joined today by, she is a post-coordinator, post-supervisor extraordinaire of some of your favorite primetime cartoon shows, but in addition to being an avid runner, one of her passions actually is volunteering and helping out at the Burbank Animal Shelter. So welcome to the Handsome Timmy Express, Amy Reynolds.
Happy Hanukkah, Tim.
Thanks kindly. We're lighting the candles here. So tell us all about what you do. Now, you don't actually work for the shelter itself. You work for the volunteer group, which is kind of different. So tell us about that.
Yeah, most publicly funded shelters have an additional group that helps them made up of volunteers. And the Burbank shelter is like that as well, where the Burbank shelter is a publicly funded, staffed organization, and then there's the group called the Volunteers of the Burbank Animal Shelter. We just call it the VBAS because that's easier. And we are the 501c3 nonprofit group that works in tandem with the Burbank Animal Shelter. So we're kind of running parallel with each other and working towards the common goal of getting animals out of the Burbank Animal Shelter and into forever homes. But we're technically a separate group.
Copy that. Now, this time of year, pets are a big luxury item. You know what I mean? Like people will splurge and get a dog, a cat, whatever for their loved one. Is that a good idea? Why, and or if they are going to do it, why should they go to a shelter to get one?
Well, okay, there's two big questions. First and foremost, adopting from shelters and or rescues is always a fantastic choice. The pet population in this country is huge, and animals are being put down, euthanized at public shelters throughout the nation for really silly reasons. And by adopting from a shelter or a rescue, the old cliche goes, but it's true, is that you're not just saving one life, you're saving two, because you save the life of the animal that you're now taking home, but you're also opening up a space for another one. So adoption is really, in my opinion, it's the only way to go. But in terms of adopting as a gift, it's a little bit of a risky proposition. You never really know if the person you're giving the gift to, the gift of this live, sentient, emotional creature, is the right person for that animal. You know, it's sort of like giving someone a toddler. Because it's this life that they're now responsible for. And you want to make sure that the personalities mesh, the energy levels mesh, and it's hard to do that for someone else. When it's like parents doing it for kids, it's a little bit easier because realistically the parents are taking care of the animal anyway. No matter what the kid says to you, they're not doing it.
I have so many stories about that. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, definitely. So in that situation, it's a little bit less of a risk, but you know, if you've been dating for 4 months, you may not really be the best judge of character of which animal is right for that person, you know? So we always recommend making like a gift certificate of you get the animal of your choice from XYZ shelter or XYZ rescue and give that as the gift, maybe in a basket with toys and treats and food and bowls and leashes or something like that, and then go with the person to pick out the right animal.
Yeah, and even pragmatically speaking, that's a lot easier than, you know, having to poke holes in the box and keep it hidden and make sure it's there.
So true. You know
what I mean?
So let's be honest. The back of the box starts making weird noises. It's very shitty.
And you know something? I'm kind of making fun a little bit because it's a fun time of year. But I think that's a phenomenal idea. That's a great you still have a present you can unwrap. You're still going to have the surprise. And then you could actually sort of extend the Christmas or Hanukkah holiday till that day when you go pick up the animal.
Totally. And there's something about picking out your friend. There's something about that moment when you make the decision that this animal is the right animal for me or for my family or whatever. And it's a shame to take that away from somebody, you know, to really just have that moment where you look into this animal's eyes and you go, okay, it's you and me.
Yeah, and you know, we just adopted, but I should say it like this, Megan actually adopted. She went and got our brand new terrier mix. And
she was so adorable, by the way.
Yeah, and she was scheduled to meet with several other dogs that day. And she was actually like, you know something? No, I've bonded with this one.
Yep.
Why would, you know, and it's, and you, it sounds mean, but at the same time, it's like, no, I know this is my dog. And therefore, let me get out of the way because hopefully somebody else. It's almost like that analogy you used of, you know, adopting one opens up the home for somebody else.
Totally.
It's almost like, well, let me get out of the way so hopefully they could find their person. And they did. They clicked right away, and so far it's working out phenomenal.
Yeah, and really it's not mean at all. When you find the right animal, you find the right animal. It's your search is over. So she did exactly the right thing. She knew she was making the choice that was right for her and for this dog, and she let other people find those other dogs. So
yeah, because you were actually, I told you this the other night, but I was, dear listener, like we know, I knew that Amy has been volunteering to work with rescues for just simply ages. And when Megan decided, oh, let's get a dog, I said, great. I know you, and of course our friend Stephanie Westcott, who also does a lot of great work with rescues and dogs. I said, I know some great experts. And Megan said, okay, but let me just check this website first, which is down below, which is Pika Pooch over in El Segundo. And it was like, okay, I found it. We never actually called for your expertise.
Yeah.
You know,
no, and that's I'm telling you, 9 times out of 10, and I've said this to even people who come in to adopt at our shelter, the dog finds you more than you find the dog. You know, like the dog kind of tells you that they're going home with you.
I think you're absolutely 1000% right, because if you had to, this is the third dog I've sort of owned, you know, to, and it's not at all what I would have drawn to be like, okay, this is the ideal dog I want in the house. But now I can't imagine another one being here. Even though I miss the other dogs I had, of course, you know, they're always going to be a part of your life. But yeah, I think that's absolutely right.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one thing that, there's a really good point, is what you have pictured in your head is not always necessarily what's going to be right for you as a family with this animal.
Right.
A lot of people have these, you know, romantic notions of, I know when I was a little kid, all I wanted was a golden retriever puppy in my Christmas stocking because I had seen that somewhere and I thought it was the dream of getting a dog. But realistically, my family was not a golden retriever family for many reasons. And that's what we try to do as volunteers at the shelter when we're facilitating an adoption, is to talk to people about the character of the dog, the energy level of the dog, the age of the dog, also the size of the dog, because that is important in your lifestyle as well. More than we talk about like breed or color or hair texture or anything like that, because it's not about the aesthetics of the animal. It's about the real life everyday living with the animal and, making sure that you have, you know, dogs, cats, whatever, that you have, the right energy level, the right personality is more important than if it's fuzzy and black or smooth and white or smushy faced or long tailed or whatever.
Absolutely right. Yeah, we're in a condo, so Kopi's 21 pounds. And yes, Kings fans, she's named after Anze Kopitar, the LA Kings, because she's black and white, was adopted El Segundo. They had no choice. But she's the perfect size for our place. And we actually, that was a big part of our conversations, is because we don't have a big, huge yard. We don't, there's a lot of things that we wish we had, but we don't. And that actually did very much affect our decision.
Right. But it also, a lot of people are like, oh, someday when I get a yard, I'll get a dog. That's great, but you don't have to wait.
No, sure. It's just, you know, making sure you get the right one for the apartment.
Exactly.
You have. Yeah.
And again, it comes down to size and energy level, really. Like, you probably don't want a 6-month-old puppy if you're in an apartment because that dog has to go outside so much and be housebroken and all that stuff. But, like, a 3-year-old dog might be perfect because
right.
it's still playful, but it's over the destructive teenage phase. And, you know, and actually sometimes, depending on other factors, but sometimes larger dogs can actually be better apartment dogs because they tend to be lower energy.
Mm.
Again, so long as they're not 6 months old, you know?
Exactly. And, well, you know, age is an interesting point because there's also a big push happening I've seen on social media and stuff, since you and I are friends with like a million animal lovers, and that's
yeah.
the push for senior dogs and yeah. senior cats, and how senior animals actually need also are very much in need of homes and places where they can have shelter from the big bad world.
Yeah, it's I mean, I understand people's hesitations with senior animals because you kind of see the end of the road from when you step onto it.
Mm-hmm.
And I get that. You kind of have to be emotionally prepared right from the get go. And I get where that's difficult, but every time I see a 13-year-old dog that was with a family for, you know, 13 years and they're in my shelter and alone for the first time, it just breaks my heart. And that, you know, they don't deserve that. They just got dumped off because they weren't fun anymore because they got old. And it just kills me. But there's something to be said for the generous spirits who are looking at these animals and saying, I want your last years, however many they are, to be your best years. And I'm going to make sure that that happens. And that's such a great gift, not only to the animal, but really to yourself. And it's a great example to set for people around you and maybe if there are children in your life,
yeah,
to show them that it's not about what the animal is going to give to you, but it's about what you're going to give to the animal. And that gift of love and comfort and security in their old age is just, it's beyond, you know?
It's so hard for me to fathom the scenario that you just described. And it happens probably more than I even want to know about.
Oh yeah!
I can't even imagine that. I mean, we have, you know, my family has ashes in trees in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no what dropping off the. I don't know. This isn't a suitcase.
Yeah.
I can't fathom the line of thinking, and I've never known anybody who's done that, or if I've known, I don't know, because my question for that person would be, and I'm not trying to sound super harsh about it, but I would be like, my God, what kind of moral compass do you have?
Yeah,
that you
it's
could
hard.
Just so oh, we're just going to abandon this creature to a shell.
Yeah, it's hard. It's
I
hard.
I understand it.
One of the hardest parts of volunteering with animals or working with a rescue is it's not the animals, it's the people, you know?
Mm.
It's a hard thing to keep your mouth shut sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's a hard thing to try and wrap your head around logic, but there's certain logics that I always say I never want to be able to follow that logic because I don't want to understand those choices.
No,
like
I agree.
Animal abusers and stuff. I don't want to be able to understand that. I don't want my brain to be able to work that way. So, but yeah, and you know, not to say that everybody who drops off their animal is a horrible person or whatever. There's legitimate reasons for doing it, and it's actually a very caring, loving thing to bring the animal someplace where it stands a chance of a second opportunity at a family and a life. And, you know, we also get people who bring their animals in and they're just gutted at having to leave them there. And
well, sure. And we're coming out of the financial crisis. You know, you're right. There are reasons that are like, you know, hey, I just can't afford this anymore or something, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, sometimes it's a lifestyle thing. Sometimes they've gotten altogether the wrong animal and they're just in way over their heads and they don't see any other way out.
Mm.
And really it's better that they bring them to a shelter or a rescue than like listing them on Craigslist or
yeah.
something, not knowing what's going to happen to them, or just opening the front door, which people do too. And
no, yeah, that's absolutely, that's a great point. You know something? You're right. And I'm glad I said that, because you're right. There are, you know, I'm sure there's assholes out there. Let's be honest. There's bad people out there who are going to do stuff. But you're right. Sometimes there are people who are just trapped in a corner. And yeah. If you are in that corner and you don't know what to do with your animal, Amy's absolutely right. Bring it to a shelter. Bring it to somebody who maybe can help it and find a forever home as opposed to God knows what in the great unknown.
Yeah. Yeah. And doing that, and then one of the joys of modern technology is all the opportunity that social networking provides.
Mm.
And even if you have to drop your animal off, shelters and rescues all have websites now where they list their available animals, and you can help place that animal by networking them on social sites, you know, and give people a place to go meet that animal and, you know, all that stuff. You can help network. And even if you just, come into a shelter, but you're not ready to adopt, if there's an animal that you connected with, social network them, help them find a home.
That's absolutely amazing, and you're absolutely right. And that's something that's free. Yeah, if you can't volunteer, whatever, you know, go on to Twitter, find your favorite, you know, a local animal shelter, a local adoption organization, and retweet. You know what I mean? Like, send that stuff out. If you see a post on, put it on Facebook. You never ever know. And I'm so glad you brought that up, Amy, because it has opened the world up. You never know that you're going to retweet something and somebody's going to see that and go, oh my God. Or retweet it to the somebody who will see and say, oh, that's my dog. That's my cat. I have to go and get that animal. Yeah. It absolutely works. Have you noticed firsthand that stuff is working?
Well, we definitely have noticed that people come in and say, I saw a picture of whoever it is and I had to come meet them.
Mm.
And whether or not that turns into adoption is, you know, dependent on the situation, of course, but it got them in the door.
Right, right. Absolutely.
And it got them to see what our facility is about and talk to our people and meet our staff and all that stuff. And sometimes that is enough for them to then recommend us to someone else who's looking for a dog, a cat, a bunny, or a turtle. We have turtles.
What's wrong with turtles?
Nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing. They're entertaining. That's for sure. So, you know, even that helps us. Anytime somebody comes to us instead of going to a store for any of these animals is a good thing. So we'll take, and I would hazard that it's true for just about any shelter out there. Anytime you get somebody in who has a positive experience at your facility, they're going to share that, and that's going to help encourage other people to come in as well. And that's all good.
Absolutely. Now, we've talked about some concerns about the people, but some folks are still kind of a little bit iffy about shelter pets, you know,
sure.
Or adopting
yeah,
an
yeah.
animal. What would you say to somebody who's just like, oh, I want to rescue one so bad, but I just don't know?
I would say shush.
Okay.
No, it is still this sort of perception that shelter animals are quote unquote damaged mm-hmm. in some way, and that's why they're there. My personal experience is 99.9% of the animals are not damaged. Every now and again, you get an animal in that's just, it's been abused to the point where their psyche has broken and there's no coming back. And there's, you know, special rescues that, work specifically in that kind of avenue. Publicly funded shelters don't have that luxury, unfortunately, but, the majority of animals are dropped off for, and again, I hate to bag on humans, but it's usually human error. They've gotten the wrong dog. They've not trained the dog. They put a cat in a situation where it's acting out because yeah. they're stressed. They don't have territory, or God yeah. forbid, they've declawed them, and that leads to a whole host of behavioral problems. You know, and then it's basically people just kind of throwing their hands up in the air and going, I don't know what to do here, take it. Or again, you know, they're just in a situation where they can't provide for the animal for some reason. And we have had, so I've been volunteering with this shelter for about 5 years now, and we've had so many animals come through our doors that if I could, I would have taken home that same day, that I can't even remember them all.
Right.
We have we have a couple dogs right now. I work with all the animals, but my main focus is with dogs just for no reason other than that's my life experience. So I'm more comfortable with them, but
sure.
My poor husband, I come home all the time and I'll show him pictures and be like, okay, if we had space, this dog would come home and it would be like this. And he has to like pat me on the head and go, yes, honey, I know. But we have a couple dogs right now that if I could, I would bring them home in a heartbeat. And, you know, and they were left with us for, you know, what amounts to be like nominal reasons. Right. So for the most part, I would say don't close yourself off to the thought of a shelter animal. Leave open the possibility that they're not damaged goods and go to a shelter, experience it, ask questions of the staff or the volunteers, and just be open, really. Educate yourself and be open.
Yeah, in our neighborhood, we have a dog that's a three-legged dog. There's also a dog that has like a, I don't know the exact term for it, but one of her back leg doesn't work. It's basically a, I don't even know the PC term for it, but just her back leg can't come down all the way. It's
kind of, oh, it's just kind of hanging there. Yeah.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, you could throw pity at these dogs, but they want to know what to do with it. They are happy and wagging their tails and walking around the neighborhood and doing their thing. And we notice it, I think, 1,000 times more than anybody else. And fortunately, they have owners. They have people that love them and take care of them, and they add to that life. Jon Stewart of The Daily Show is the proud owner of a three-legged dog named Champ. So if he can, you know, sometimes it almost goes back to what you're saying before, Amy, about like, you know, you have this ideal picture in your head, you know, and then you're going to meet this dog that's going to steal your heart, and that dog may only have three legs. We saw a dog in the park in San Diego running around three-legged. And how would you explain? I don't even think the dog understood he had three legs.
No, dogs don't give a damn.
You know what I mean?
They really don't. Animals don't care because so long as they can do what they want to do, they're fine. They don't have our baggage. They don't have our preconceived notions of what is normal. Yeah. Whatever they're dealing with, that's their normal. And they don't, you know, dogs missing an eye, dogs missing a leg, blind dogs, deaf dogs, they live in the now. They're not judging themselves or concerned about what people think of them. They just, do you have a toy? Do you have
exactly?
Do you have a cozy blanket for them to curl up in? That's all they care about.
Yeah.
And you know, some of the most agile dogs in the world are tripods, you know? And yeah, if you get a dog that's missing a leg, there's going to be some things that you have to consider that four-legged animals don't have to consider. Like you have to be concerned about the one either shoulder or hip joint that's supporting more weight than it was built to, and you know, stuff like that. But you know, I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. We have crap too. So who are we to say that that isn't good enough for me?
Yeah, and there's differences between breeds. All around, there's whatever dog you get is going to be different than the dog that I have or whatever, you know. I mean, when we got Kopi, everybody in the world had 1,000, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that. And it's sort of like, well, let's just play it by ear and she'll tell us, you know, as what she needs as we go along and everything. So, okay. Yeah. So
that's an important thing, is just for people to realize, once they do adopt the animal that it takes a little time for the relationship to really fully build up to its potential. There has to be trust between both the humans and the animals. And it takes a little time. We always tell people it can take from 4 weeks to 16 weeks before the relationship really kind of settles, depending on the animal and the situation. So, you know, this whole magical running in slow motion through a field of flowers sort of notion of what happens when you bring the animal home is very rare. It takes time, and you just have to sort of dedicate yourself to sticking it out and building that bond. And with all animals, setting a routine helps that, because then they can relax. They're not having to question what you're doing. They can just go, oh, okay, when we wake up, we do this, and then this happens, and they can just relax. And humans are the same way. You know, we feel comfortable with routine. And when we don't have to think about what's coming next, we kind of relax. And they're the same way. So building up a routine and settling into the relationship and letting it take a little time and not panicking when on day three something goes wrong is kind of key to the long-term relationship.
Yeah, there is some work and responsibility that goes into any pet, you know, especially mm-hmm. I think dogs a little bit more than cats in some regards, some ways. Some ways yes, some ways no.
Sure.
You know, like Kopi's a lot more high maintenance than our cat Squeaker was, but not really, you know what I mean? Yes and no. It's actually different maintenance. I shouldn't say high maintenance isn't the right word.
Yeah.
It's a
little bit apples and oranges,
yeah.
But it does, you know, dogs are going to get walked, cats not so much. So, you know, there's the energy expenditure is a little bit different. Like dogs are a little bit more physical. Cats may be a little bit more emotional or cerebral depending on the cat. But yeah, it just, either way, it just takes a little time and a little patience and, some research and asking questions of people that may have had a similar experience or something like that. And just putting the dedication and the time into making the relationship work.
And it's totally, totally worth it.
Yeah.
No
one else in your life will be happy to see you to the level that your animal will be happy to see you, even if all you did was take the trash out.
Yep.
I mean,
it's absolutely
true. I get in my car and come back and my dogs greet me like I've just crossed the Sahara. So it's like no one else is going to do that. And even if I get frustrated and yell at them or have, you know, trouble with the training that we're doing or whatever, they don't care. They love me anyway, you know, and that, I don't care how strong your marriage is, how great your relationship is with your parents or your siblings or the best friend you've had since the day you were born. Nobody's going to look at you the way that animal looks at you.
No, it's
pretty friggin' awesome.
It's truly unconditional. And it's well worth whatever work you're going to have to put into it. And I actually timed it. I could actually pick up Kopi's droppings. I got it down to about 3.2 seconds.
Nice.
How about that? Yes. And quick and easy. And you learn where all the dumpsters in the neighborhood are and you're done with it and it's quick and painless.
And very soon you will be that guy who knows all the dogs' names in the neighborhood and none of the people's names.
Absolutely right. So, well, anyway, it is the holiday season and there's always sales and specials and bargains going on. Do you guys have anything going on at the shelter?
Yeah, we do. Actually, thank you for bringing that up. right now, the shelter is sponsoring a program that they're calling the 12 Strays of Christmas. And there's 12 featured animals that are going home with special packages like bags of food and I think a collar and stuff like that. So they get a little extra, you know, zhuzh with the adoption. And in addition to that, the VBAS is sponsoring 50% off all adoption fees through December 31st of this year,
wow.
Which is huge.
Huge.
And that's more money you can spend on a Christmas sweater for your brand new puppy. So it's a really great time to come in and check out who we have. End of the year is always a really busy time for shelters and rescues. It's a good time. If you've been thinking about adopting and just kind of waiting for the right moment, first of all, there's never a right moment, so mm-hmm. might as well do it now. And secondly, now is a great time because there are all these offers because we're trying to get all these animals into homes for the holidays. As much as we love them and we love seeing them all the time and we grow attached to them, what we really want is to never ever see them again because we want them to go into a happy home and stay there until the very end of their days.
Absolutely. So if you're in the northern Los Angeles area, Burbank, North Hollywood, Studio City, San Fernando Valley, and you're in the market for an animal to ring in 2015, the Burbank Animal Shelter is a great place to start. If you're not in the northern Los Angeles area, don't fear. I'm sure there are wonderful and hardworking and indefatigable volunteers like Amy in your neighborhood. Find them on Facebook. Find them on Twitter. Retweet them. If you're dying to adopt an animal. And it's funny you bring up the never right time. I was going to say this isn't industry related, but they always say about screenwriting, it's never a right time to start writing. You're never going to be ready to start writing, so just start writing. So yeah. You're never going to be ready to adopt, so just go out and adopt. It's a perfect time
totally.
To do it.
Totally.
But listen, adopt from a shelter. You know, save these animals from being abandoned and from where they once were, and give them a loving home. They deserve it, and you're going to deserve the love that they give you. And if you can't, if you truly can't adopt, retweet these posts. You know, put something on Facebook. Help spread the word. That's huge in and of itself. Also, at this time of year, you know, our local vet does it. I know that many local vets do it. Is you can donate food to needy animals. Can people donate to the shelter as well? Is there a thing like that?
Yeah, they can. If they go to our website, they'll see we have, because we also have foster programs for kittens and puppies that are too young to be in the shelter.
Mm-hmm.
We have wish lists of things that can be adopted, actual items. We'll always take cold hard cash in any form anybody's willing to give it to us. We can also use like old blankets and stuff that we, and blankets and towels that we use in the kennels. And, there's just a whole litany of things. And if anybody wants to find out, our website, like I said, is great, or they can actually call over and ask some questions and we'll be happy to direct them.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the thing. Instead of just throwing that stuff in the trash, find out if a shelter needs them. Then you can just drop it off on the way to the grocery store. Boom, done. You've done your good deed for the day.
Yeah,
takes
totally.
A few minutes. So yeah, there's tons of, that's another thing too. That's what, you know, I love doing the podcast and things like that. We're spreading the word out because half of this stuff I didn't even know, and I'm in this world right now. So this is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, and like a blanket drive or a blanket and towel drive is a great thing to get your kids involved as well. They can maybe work with their school and do a drive and donate to their local shelter. We've had kids do like lemonade stands and bring us the cash that they raise. And you know, it's really great to start kids appreciating the lives of animals early, because they'll carry it with them through the rest of their lives too.
Absolutely. Yeah. And hey, and if you happen to adopt an animal on that towel drop off, boom, all the better.
Yeah, definitely.
So, okay, cool. So before I let you run, Amy, any last thoughts or final sort of holiday advice for people in the animal adoption market?
I guess in general, just it's a great time of year to kind of take stock of what you have in your life and appreciate the animals that maybe have come and gone or are still with you. And it's a good time to either in their memory or in the hope of one day having an animal of your own to give a little. Animal organizations tend to get overlooked in charitable donation. So, you know, even honestly, if you send $10 towards your local shelter or rescue that's underfunded and doing the best they can, it's greatly appreciated. $10 towards a vet visit or $10 towards food or something like that, it makes a difference. So while you're feeling charitable in the 'tis the seasonness of it all, if you can keep in mind some of your local animal groups, I guarantee you it will be appreciated.
And it's going to go a lot longer than people think. A lot farther, I think, than people think. Yeah, outstanding.
Definitely.
All right, rock and roll. Well, cool. Amy, thanks so much for taking the time out.
Thanks for letting me talk about one of my my passions.
Oh, absolutely. It's a great cause, and you're doing absolutely phenomenal golden work. So thank you for doing that, because you're helping save countless lives, especially after 5 years. So you are fighting the good fight.
Well, thanks. It helps when the faces you're fighting for are furry.
Very true. All right, and thanks for listening. And this is Tim Davis on the Handsome Timmy D Express.